This is Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance. I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink.
Fucking hell!
Above all, stay alive. You have no idea.
Let's jump right into the news now. One more time, if you want to follow along with the stories, visit theconsciousresistance.com. Check out the link for the Conscious Resistance Live 119, We Were Born for This Moment, and everything that I'm going to be covering tonight, you will find here. So I have a couple of stories related to the ongoing kind of reality that the media is ruled by the ruling class and is interconnected with the ruling class and the intelligence agencies. I wanted to touch on this because, as I said, I've been writing about this for Chapter 2 of the Pyramid of Power documentary series. It's called Establishment Media. So I'm writing about how the corporate control of media, how it's gone down to 5 corporations, you know, over the last 100 years or so, and how various billionaires own and influence and manipulate the media. And that's one level of it. And then, like Noam Chomsky talking about manufacturing consent and media as propaganda. But then there's also the deeper level of things like the infiltration of the media by the CIA, the NSA, that's been happening since at least the 40s, the 50s, 60s. Now, they claim they stopped it in 1973, but we know that that's a lie. And the reality is that there are probably many mainstream journalists that are in front of television and radio and other large audiences that are actually pulling double duty and are either people who started out as agents of the CIA or were eventually hired by the CIA to, you know, serve their country. And, you know, basically play a dual role. And I'm showing on screen right now, for those who are watching, a video I did in November 2018 called Ruling Class Journalists. And it's on the website. I encourage you to go check this one out, because I just talk about how there was an article written in 1996, I believe, in the Washington Post, which you don't see these kind of articles anymore. And it was literally titled Ruling Class Journalists. And it was one of the former editors of the Washington Post who was warning and just saying how that there is a ruling class in America, and he said the closest to that ruling class would be the Council on Foreign Relations. I think the Council on Foreign Relations obviously plays a major role, but they're not near the top of the pyramid. But his point was there's this ruling class, and he was pointing out all the different people that are connected to the Council on Foreign Relations and saying these people are connected to journalism, connected to this, and how it was creating conflicts of interest. And that was in the 1990s. And as I said, we know for a fact they've been infiltrating media since the 1960s and 70s. And I'm going to play you, I'll play you this clip. I want to talk about this before we show you that the current example of what's going on. I want to show you a little bit more of an example of how we knew that this was going on. So in the 1970s, when the Church Committee, which was chaired by Frank Church, it was called the U.S. Senate Select Committee on Intelligence Gathering Activities, and Church Committee helped reveal like MKUltra. It helped reveal that the U.S. government was spying on activists. It helped reveal that they had a poison dart gun that was from the shellfish that could make somebody have a heart attack. I mean, there was all these different things that came out of the Church Committee from the 1976. And I'm about to show you a clip of Frank Church, who is discussing some of the elements of what they found with their investigations. Now, he doesn't mention the NSA or the CIA by name. It's almost as if he's afraid. But listen to what he says and listen what he warns about. This is in the 70s, dude. This is late 70s. When he's warning that they found, wow, there's a massive spy apparatus that already exists. And if we don't get this under control, you know, it's going to turn really bad. And he was warning this 50 years ago. So just check this clip out real quick. Again, Frank Church, the chairman of the Church Committee in the U.S. Senate, 1976.
Well, Senator, let me follow up by asking, do you think that the CIA and military intelligence agencies and the FBI have used the emergency provisions, both in law and by emergency agency, the Federal Preparedness Agency, it's called now, to have contingency plans which threaten the liberty of American citizens?
Mr. Rowan, in due course, the committee will pass judgment on those questions. I'm not going to preguess the committee or prematurely attempt to pass judgment on this program. But let me tell you this. In the need to develop a capacity to know what potential enemies are doing, the United States government has perfected a technological capability that enables us to monitor the messages that go through the air. These messages are between ships at sea. They could be between units, military units in the field. We have a very extensive capability of intercepting messages wherever they may be in the airwaves. Now, that is necessary and important to the United States as we look abroad at enemies or potential enemies. We must know. At the same time, that capability at any time could be turned around on the American people. And no American would have any privacy left, such as the capability to monitor everything, telephone conversations, telegrams, it doesn't matter. There would be no place to hide if this government ever became a tyranny, if a dictator ever took charge in this country. The technological capacity that the intelligence community has given the government could enable it to impose total tyranny. And there would be no way to fight back, because the most careful effort to combine together in resistance to the government, no matter how privately it was done, is within the reach of the government to know. Such is the capability of this technology. Now, why is this investigation important? I'll tell you why. Because I don't want to see this country ever go across the bridge. I know the capacity that is there to make tyranny total in America. And we must see to it that this agency and all agencies that possess this technology operate within the law and under proper supervision, so that we never cross over that abyss. That's the abyss from which there is no return.
The abyss from which there is no return. I mean, that is a very powerful, just stark warning to hear from, again, that is Frank Church, who is the head of the Church Committee that investigated in 1976 the intelligence community and found out that they were doing MKUltra mind control programs, found out that they were doing all kinds of, infiltrating journalism and using their agents as fake journalists, as well as investigating and infiltrating activist groups. And so much information came out of the Church Committee in 1976. And that was just one piece. So think about that, like how long ago. That was 50 years ago. And they have capacity way beyond that now. Let's get into some of that now, because over the years, my journalism has often focused on digital technology, specifically surveillance technology. It's something that I've spent many years studying and researching, particularly cell phone surveillance technology like stingrays, cell site simulators. They have new names now, but some of you may remember some of my older reporting on that. I did a video on this a couple weeks ago about how Jackson, Mississippi, the police, they're one of the early police departments, but they're definitely not the only one, that are encouraging the local community to start voluntarily giving the police access to their Ring doorbell cameras or other, you know, kind of doorbell cameras, because again, they're claiming that this is going to keep you safe. So give us voluntary access to this. And people, if you have these doorbell cameras, you need to really understand that not only are you putting your privacy at risk, but those doorbell cameras can see your neighbor's house across the street. And, you know, maybe some of you, I've heard people say, oh yeah, I found out somebody was stealing my packages and we caught them through that. Or there's, you know, good uses of this technology. But the fact of the matter is that Amazon owns Ring. That's not a good thing. Amazon already massive data collection. Amazon's also developing a facial recognition tool called Recognition with a K, R-E-K, Recognition, that they are working on selling to police departments. And they're already talking about putting it in police body cameras. So then police are going to be walking around with facial recognition cameras everywhere, basically. And then you have these doorbell cameras. And so it says civil liberties advocates warn that a new surveillance tool will put everybody's household, everyday people's household activities under potential scrutiny by police. And look at this disturbing image for those who are watching, this giant eyeball looking over the city. And again, I'm not going to get too deep into this. I recommend you go back to our previous report about this, about Amazon and Ring are building surveillance networks in neighborhoods. But I wanted to bring this up because I want to hear from more of you. I know that there are a lot of investigators in the audience, people who like to do digging. We're getting more word on this technology and the company. The company's name is ASUS, A-S-U-S, And I've got a little bit of information, but I definitely recommend people looking into them. For those who are activists in your local area, you might want to file open records requests and try to find out if your police department, excuse me, it's FUSIS, F-U-S-U-S right here. So one of the agencies, the police department in Ocasee, Florida, said it is planning to use the home live stream function as part of a deal with FUSIS approved last month. Other FUSIS clients include police departments in Minneapolis, Rialto, California, who said they are not interested in obtaining real-time video from doorbell cameras yet. Several other agencies have not responded to requests for documents or questions about their arrangements with FUSIS. I'm going to file open records requests to find out if the Houston Police Department, where I'm based in, is using this kind of technology, and I think everybody should. So it's basically live streaming technology, which allows the police to tap into all the different doorbell cameras. And it's a 24-hour panopticon, but in this case, it's the people that are helping create it. Yes, your phones are already tracking you, and they are tracking devices. They were definitely, you know, the original GPS technology, much like the internet, much like Facebook, much like a lot of things that are handed to the people, were developed with help, if not completely, but definitely with help from government funding and from government agencies. So the internet itself, a lot of these tools. So yeah, your phones are definitely capable of being tracking devices with a bunch of cool other accessories added to them. But this thing really disturbs me because I see so many people. I enjoy technology. I'm looking at two computers right now. I'm streaming. You know, I use technology for great reasons. But this kind of stuff freaks me out, especially when I see activists and people who I know are aware of what's going on in the world, but they have Google Nest in their house and Amazon Echo. Those guys, those things are listening to you all the time. Your smart Samsung TV, it's listening to you all the time. If you can speak to it, it means it can record you. And they are not just turning on when you say Echo, Amazon, whatever, Alexa, the little Siri thing. It's always listening to you. And so I very much encourage you to rethink how much you're inviting this technocracy. And especially because many of you, I can tell many, many people have started to wake up to the technocracy and what this idea is, as you're seeing contact tracing apps and immunity passports and this whole vision of the elite, the scientific elite dominating our world, people like Bill Gates and other scientists or other experts, you're starting to understand the dangerous side of technology. Well, as a journalist, I've been writing for years about how there have been a number of organizations and experts and scientists warning about the rise of AI and facial recognition cameras and license plate readers and ShotSpotter, the gun detector device that actually is listening to at all times. I mean, these real-time crime centers and the fusion centers and all of this stuff that, again, is this sort of afterbirth of 9/11 is very dangerous. And we are now seeing where it's going. And so many people, maybe even some of you on this audience, didn't question it until recently, and now we are seeing this world come to fruition. I want to point you to one more article on the surveillance before we get into our COVID news for the evening. This is coming from Counterpunch, just published 2 days ago. A new technology will dangerously expand government spying on citizens. And this, again, is another interesting one. Just a reminder, both the Who is FUSIS, the article we just covered, that you can find that on the website, and Who is Signal Frame. That is this company we're looking at now. You can find the link to these articles on theconsciousresistance.com. And it says, quote, if you're worried about the capability of government to conduct surveillance of citizens engaged in political assembly and protest, or even just personal activity, then you should be aware that the technological capability of government surveillance is about to expand exponentially. And it says, the U.S. Air Force's research lab has recently signed a contract to test new software of a company called Signal Frame, which is a D.C.-based wireless tech company. The company's software is able to access smartphones and from your phone, jump off to any other wireless or Bluetooth device in the near vicinity. To quote from the article in the Wall Street Journal, the smartphone is used as, quote, a window onto usage of hundreds of millions of computers, routers, fitness trackers, modern automobiles, and other networked devices known collectively as the Internet of Things. And for those of you who've been following my work for a while, and those of you who've seen my documentary, The 5G Trojan Horse, which if you haven't, I recommend you go check it out. This is what I've warned about, the Internet of Things, and then with the Fourth Industrial Revolution and the Great Reset, what they're talking about, the Internet of Bodies, the Internet of Humans, us becoming connected to it, not just every device that we are surrounded with being connected to the Internet, but us, our bodies, our minds itself. This is going to increase massively the capability for data gathering, data mining, and for surveillance. And I mean, you really need to pay attention to this, guys. And as I wrote in my book, How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State, in many ways, we, the people, you, maybe, perhaps, we are all making different decisions about how much technology we allow in our lives. Maybe you yourself are contributing to some of your own enslavement or lack of privacy and eventually lack of liberty by blindly accepting these various technological tools, which do some really cool things and maybe make life easy for us in various ways, but are actually detrimental to us and our privacy as free human beings. It goes on to say your smartphone in effect becomes a government listening device that detects and accesses all nearby wireless or Bluetooth devices or anything that has a MAC address for that matter. How near is nearby is not revealed by the company or the Air Force, both of which refuse to comment on the Wall Street Journal story. But it says, again, with the expansion of 5G wireless, it should be assumed it's more than just a couple of steps from your smartphone. So think about that. 5G is going to be the backbone to the Internet of Things. It's going to allow this low latency, driverless cars. I mean, I've said this a million times in all my 5G videos and my 5G documentary, but this is what many of us have seen is coming. So when you add this world of interconnectivity, doorbell cameras with facial recognition, live stream connecting to police to see everything everywhere, more automated police like robot dogs and robot cops and all these kinds of things. We were talking about that yesterday on Freethinker Radio. Check out that episode if you haven't heard it. And this world that's coming to fruition, this 5G, Internet of Things, digital panopticon, this is what the Great Reset is all about. This is the world that they're trying to push us further and further into. And in many ways, we are welcoming it. We are embracing these tools. If you're using Amazon, you know, to shop or just for the convenience or whatever, then, I mean, you need to think about that. Because for me, agorism, opting out of systems that don't align with our values is not just about opting out of the government and not paying taxes when possible, which is definitely a part of it, but also being wise and thinking holistically about how you make your money, where you're spending your money, what type of money you're using, and what that involves and what that supports. So we need to rethink this. This is why I don't use, you know, I try to limit my use of Google devices and Google search engine. I don't use it. I don't use their browser. And, you know, getting away from all their tools because I don't want to support that company. I can't sit here and talk about we need to get away from the technocracy and build something better while using their systems. At least I don't believe so. I think that that's a little bit hypocritical. Everybody else make your own decisions. So I don't, you know, I joined Facebook to try to reach more people last year when I did this campaign, but I hate being on Facebook. I hate contributing to this thing, but I'm also at the same time thankful that I can keep reaching people. So not to get off too much of a tangent, but this is just, you know, where it's going right now. And he gives a couple of examples here. He says, so if you're driving on a winding coastal or mountain road, this device would know and could possibly access your car's various electronic systems to turn them off. Remotely turning off cars, remote detonation of cars, huh? Is anybody thinking of Michael Hastings? It might access your car's circuit board that governs your power steering when you're driving in an area of winding roads, or it might be able to just shut down your car's electrical system and remotely lock all your doors. The police no longer have to engage in highway chases. Or if we're driverless cars, then they can just lock you in the car and take you straight to the police station because they overheard you saying crazy conspiracy theories in your car because they're always listening, right? And you just said some bad think and some anti-government things. And we heard all about that, you COVID denier, you science denier, you anti-vaxxer. And now the driverless car, the autonomous vehicle is going to take you straight to the police station for your reconditioning. This new technology would allow the government to access the data on your Fitbit device while you're jogging, or worse, maybe even interfere with the signal on your heart's pacemaker device. I mean, that sounds crazy, but it's honestly, this is real. And it says, and with 5G wireless, the tracking might be extended well beyond the range of a Bluetooth device. Add 5G broadband wireless to Signal Frames technology, and then wed that to the capability of machine learning and artificial intelligence, and you get an instant processing of massive amounts of data on any targeted person or gathering. So I recommend going to find this article on Counterpunch or just check out the Conscious Resistance. Look at our link there. Again, the company is called Signal Frame. So if you're one of these researchers, you want to dig, look up the company Fusus, F-U-S-U-S. Look up the company Signal Frame. Fusus and Signal Frame.
This is Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance. I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. We've all stayed alive. You have no idea how important.